Well, it's good to be close to Christ and one another tonight as we thank Him for His wonderful work at the cross. And I remember as a young boy seeing a lot of TV programs around Easter about Jesus, programs like The King of Kings and Jesus of Nazareth and The Robe, and watching those and being so taken up by who Jesus was. And then when the time came for Him to be crucified, I would always leave the room and get upset and cry and not want to see that or not want to look at that. And tonight I was thinking of the song, "Drops of Grief Can Not Repay the Debt of Love I Owe." Now when I think of crying about the cross, my tears are not so much about Jesus suffering now, because He's not, but how He would do that for all of us, for people. And there are more tears of awe and thanks and worship and gratitude, as opposed to fright and running away and fear. And to know as one person said, we live in the shadow of the cross, but we serve a risen Savior, even on Good Friday. So we thank the Lord for His great work. And words of salvation that Jesus said even while He did the work of salvation. A couple of those for us to think about tonight and thank Him for and have our lives changed by. We often cried at Good Friday, and there were people crying when Jesus died or went to His death. The Bible tells us about some of those. They were following Jesus. Simon of Cyrene happened to help Him carry His cross for a while. But when Jesus saw the people crying, He said something very straightforward, somewhat unlike Him. Remember, He called Himself a gentle and humble person in Matthew's gospel. And when He saw people crying when He was going to the cross, He said something almost a bit severe. He said, "Don't cry for me. Don't cry for me. Cry for yourself and for your children." Wow. Even then, Jesus wasn't concerned about sympathy for Himself. He might have said, "Thank you for your concern. Thank you for your tears. This is painful, but it'll be okay in a few days." No, He says, "Don't cry for me. Cry for yourself and cry for your children." Christ was concerned about where people were with God, whether they were at peace with God or not. And if we cry on Good Friday, we cry if our own soul is not at peace with God and we say, "God, help me." Or we cry for loved ones who would be in the same boat. Jesus said, "Cry for your children. Cry for the world that much of what is still not at peace with God. Don't cry for Christ," He said. "Cry for yourself. Cry for your children." Jesus is letting us know our tears won't save us. Being sympathetic to Jesus won't save us. What we need is repentance and forgiveness that only He could bring. And that's why He went to the cross. There's a great song called "Rock of Ages," and one of the lines are, "Could my tears forever flow?" And I think any decent human being, let alone believer, who would think about the cross would cry endless tears about what happened there. "Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no respite know? All for sin could not atone. You must save, and You alone." If we cried from now until heaven, or if we were zealous, we were the most excited person in the world about Jesus, more excited than anybody had been up to this point, and we are just fired up, excited about Him, all that could not do for us what Jesus did for us at the cross. And He did the great work of salvation. We need Him more than we need even our own tears or our own zeal. We need Him. And a thanks to Him for His work. The second word of salvation Jesus gives is a prayer that He prays for us and for the people who were crucifying Him. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus is doing what Isaiah said the Messiah would do. He's praying for transgressors. So if you'd take that identity on a bit tonight, He would pray for you from the cross and live forever to make intercession. He made intercession for transgressors, Isaiah said. When I worked at a church a while back, there was a father who was just his heart went out to his own children, and they were in quite a bit of rebellion against him and his wife. They had broken the law. They had gotten into drug use, and he was just beside himself, brokenhearted about what would happen to his children. Did not know how to help them in any way. Wanted to just kick them out of the house, and that was it. And so I went just to talk with them, and being a young person, not being a father myself, I had very little words of wisdom. I thought, well, how could he pray for his children? I said, would you consider praying what Jesus prayed? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. That was the condition of his loved ones. And he tried to pray that way. And in praying that way, he got to know the Lord better. And he grew in his love for his children. He began to give them love and boundaries that they needed. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. If you and I would pray that way, we'd be agreeing with Jesus in prayer. When we see sin around us, or perhaps sin in our own heart, Father, forgive us, for we don't know what we're doing. Or when we see a lost world, beside being in pain about that, or perhaps angry about the sin in the world, we would also pray, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. A message of forgiveness that Christ would bring to desperate people. Forgiveness will change lives, because the gospel changes lives. To pray with Jesus like that is joining the passing on of the work of salvation that he won in the shedding of his blood. Another word of salvation he gives is, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Someday, through the grace of Christ alone, you and I will hear Jesus say that to us, maybe not in exactly those words, but in some similar message. Today, you will be with me in heaven or in paradise. That's after we've run the race, finished the course, and kept the faith when we live our last day. So it's a sobering thought. It's great to know Christ went before us as we would face that last day. Old-time preachers used to call death, or the last day we would live on earth, our great getting up morning. I don't know this morning if you had a great getting up morning. In our house, when we rise, we don't always shine right away. Stumble to the shower, shuffle to the breakfast, rush to work or school, rush through prayer. Not always a great getting up morning. But someday we will have that, and our life will be over. And it'll be time to go home. I remember as a school child finishing every year of school. When I got up that last day of school, it was like a great getting up morning. It was, thank you, Lord. And someday we'll hear Jesus say to us, today you'll be with me in paradise. Today. Thank you, Lord. If he doesn't say that, we're not going. He'll say that if we've trusted him to come into our life. And when the thief heard those words, you know, there was pain in his life. There was guilt in his life. He just cried out, Jesus, remember me. Jesus gave him those words. I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. There's no recorded words from the thief after that. If people mocked Jesus or mocked the thieves, and he said, how do you feel now, thief? You're dying, getting what you deserve. You might say, no complaints. I know where I'm going. But you and I as believers, how's it going with you? How's it going with you and your soul? You might say, no complaints. I know where I'm going. I've heard Jesus promise, someday you will be with him in paradise. What a gracious word of salvation, because he died for your sin and mine. And then a final word of salvation that I choose tonight, a prayer again. a lot of what Jesus says from the cross is prayer. Good lesson for us. Before we came out tonight, we kind of prayed and said, the less we say about the cross, the better. The more we give thanks, the better. The more we give praise, the better. But Jesus prays from the cross. One of the last things he did, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Beautiful prayer. It's from Psalm 31. Jesus, again, quoting scripture that he wrote, obviously near and dear to his heart. "Into your hands I commit my spirit." That was a prayer that little children were taught to pray before they went to sleep. A safe place. Finally home. With loved ones. At peace in their hearts. At peace about the future. "Into your hand I commit my spirit." That tells us that Jesus died willingly, voluntarily, with a quiet confidence in God. He knew where he was going. He died in God's arms and woke up in God's presence. That's a prayer to join Jesus in for our lives. Perhaps as you go to bed tonight, take on that Psalm 31 prayer. "Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit." Someday you'll pray that one more time before you go to be with Christ. It's a good prayer to pray when you wake up. "Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus, might we live in the arms of God and someday wake up in his presence because of his great work in the cross. And we thank him for his wonderful gift of salvation. And tonight, to know you could be at peace with God through faith in him. As we take the bread and cup, we'll sing a bit when we pass the bread and cup and when we're ready to participate, just of the Lord's great love for us tonight. And might we always grow in that love together. So we continue to prepare for communion with him. I hear the words that he spoke as he established communion. "Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" Amen. Let's pray together as God's people. Lord, it's a trembling thing. It's something that leaves us without much speech when we think that you would die in our place and pay the sin debt that we had. We can never pay it. Perhaps some, even who are believers, who would have our doubts about you, continue to try to pay it and never feel quite accepted or loved by you. I pray that the cross, Jesus, and you would give a heart at peace with you to any here who are restless because of sin or trusting in something but you tonight. Might there be a real peace abiding because of what you've accomplished. As we take the cup, might we be people to give much thanks to you quietly and with great joy and fear towards you, and also, Father, to be glad to be able to live a life in thanks to you. Some people we know, Lord, in our fellowship don't have a lot of time left to be able to live out of thanks to you, at least on this earth. They'll be thanking you forever in heaven. But we here of relative health have days to just add up praises to God and give thanks. I pray that what we need from yourself, Lord, you'd provide through the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Be yourself among us as we remember you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.